Let's pray together. Father God, we just come before you so grateful. Just so grateful for who you are in our lives. We thank you so much, Father, for your presence, Lord, your growth in our lives, your movement in our lives. We're grateful. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would just really come and just move amongst us right now. I pray, Father, that as we open your word, that we'd come to it like you say it is. It is the God-breathed word of God. And that, Father, it is profitable to reprove us, to correct us, to train us, and to teach us, Lord. We ask, Father, that we would be trained in all righteousness. We ask, Lord, in your name, that this word would not return void, but accomplish exactly what you desire in every life here, every person here today. And Father, that the word, Father, on our pages would leap to life, and the Logos would become Rhema today. Lord, as we open it to say, God, we want a word, and we want a word to live on, a word that'll change our lives. And I want to thank you, Father, for the potential and the possibility right now what this word can do by just simply reading it and responding to it. So, Father, come, fill us with your presence, enlighten us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 19. What we have here is just this great story of 10 lepers being healed in one moment. Okay, so I'm just going to say, this is a wonderful miracle. There's not one leper, not two, not three, who's being healed over a period of time. No, there are 10 lepers who are going to be healed all in the same moment. This is how great our God is. Our God's so great that, listen, you just can't put him in a box. I mean, that's what we want to put him in a box. If he works this way, he's going to work this way again. And I'm just going to tell you, God is not like that. We can expect just this awesome movement of God in our lives to do what God wants to do when God wants to do it, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life. And I love this story. Now, I want to just say this, just opening up with this story. Listen, I believe in the supernatural power of the two words we're going to talk about today. And that is, thank you. There is supernatural power in these two small words, thank you. And I just want you to know, I began to see this on October 22nd, 2011, the day after I turned 52. This was a beginning of what I call my thank you journey, grateful journey. And I just kind of stumbled upon it that morning, the morning before on my birthday. Now, if you know anything about my birthday, and I'm sure I, for most of you who've been here a long time, I mean, you just know this. I get a new journal week before my birthday, and I do my New Year's resolutions then, okay? And it just kind of seems to work for me. And I'll get this new journal. I'll think about where I've been where we've been the year before. I look at the things that we've prayed about, the things that we've prayed for, the things that God has done in our lives. And then I begin to look for the future and the future year, and just begin to ask God, what would you have happen this year? What would you have me pray about? What would you have us move toward in my life as a man, in my life as a husband, in my life as a dad, and in my life as a pa, in my life as a pastor, in my life as a friend? And you look at my journals. I've journaled from the time I was 17 till now, and I probably journaled about you once, right? And I know I've journaled about a bunch of you. That's supposed to be funny. I know, somebody said that's not funny. Don't worry, I just put your initials, not your name, okay? But I think about it, I've done that just all my life, and in this certain year, this specific year, I had written down 1 Thessalonians 5, It's 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So I wrote that down, and then the next day, I was just thinking, you know, in these 2 days of just thinking about it, I've just decided I'm throwing all the goals out for this year. No goals. And I began to write these three, four thoughts here together. This is what I want my life to be about this week, this year. And then subsequently, I'm just going to tell you, ever since 2011, it's the same drumbeat for me. And the very first thing I asked is, God, I want to follow you in this passage of Scripture, and I want to give you thanks in and for everything. Everything. And I sat in that office that day, or in my home that day, because usually I sit on this little perch and look out the back window, southwest. And I said, God, I want to give you thanks. I want to thank you for everything. And I said this: good, bad, ugly, beautiful, certain, and uncertain. I just want to thank you. And I began that. But let me just say, second thing, I just said, I want to confess you. It's kind of similar to the first one. I want to confess Jesus as Lord in every circumstance. I just want to do that. I want to thank you for it. I want to say, because you're Lord of it. You're Lord of my life. You're Lord of the circumstances. You're Lord of my history. You're Lord of what's going on. That doesn't change. And the third thing, which I think has kind of been the most difficult thing sometimes, is this: I want to just love well in every circumstance. Because I want to tell you, when the circumstances are bad, I can thank him and I can say it, but will I love well when the circumstances are bad? Especially when the circumstances involve hard times with hard people. And then I said, Lord, I want to be led by your Spirit every day in every way. Those four things. Now, I just say, now, in October of 2011, I didn't get past the first one for many, many months. And I just began to do it. I just began to say, thank you. Now, it was also really interesting because a few weeks ago I told you about the rough time, the rough season that we had. We were already coming out of this rough, hard season. And as I began to thank him, I just began to say, I want it to be the default button of my life. Thank you. How many of you have seen the easy button? I got one. Okay. Right? Easy button.
That was easy.
Right? Right? I keep this in my closet, and my grandkids will come up and they'll grab it and go, Pa, I just got dressed.
That was easy.
Laugh, you know. Or, Pa, I just ate my vegetables.
That was easy.
And we laugh. But you know, I just was thinking in terms, when I began this journey of deciding that I would thank you, I thought about the easy button. Instead of saying it's easy, the default button was, if I could just have one, is there anybody who's an engineer who could create this for me? But the thank you button. Instead of it's easy, thank you. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, as I began this journey, a few months later, before that, and I preached a little bit of this back then, and so what was happening was things were happening in our lives that just began to be phenomenal, especially in those areas that I was thanking him for. And I began making this statement: supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. Supernatural things happen when you say thank you for everything. A couple of things. Miracles follow thank you. Miracles follow thank you. Good things follow the grateful heart. And I think anything that I would say to you about this right now up front is, how grateful are you in this life? How thankful are you? Have things become just so familiar in your lives that things that were once sacred are no longer sacred because they become familiar? They become rote. And have you missed the blessings that are all around you? That you move through life and you have one thing going wrong, but there's 10 things to celebrate, but instead of celebrating the 10 things, you bemoan the one thing. And in your bemoaning, if you keep on it, you make everybody miserable around you. When I began this, I was introduced to a book by Jennifer Bowe in our church, and sitting right over here, and it was a book called The Thousand Gifts. It's about a journey of a woman deciding she was going to thank God for 1,000 things. In my journal, I'm on like, I think 3,900. I decided I'd start that. But I'm just going to tell you, there are things in the journal that I thank God for that does not make sense. Because there's some things that go on that I'll thank God for that it just doesn't make sense to do that. And we're going to talk a minute about that. Supernatural things happen when you say thank you. Miracles follow thank you. Good things follow the grateful heart. Now, I'm not saying that all the circumstances always change, but I found is as you change, I change. I change in perspective. I change in a sense of trust and faith in who God is and what God's come to do in my life. That's what's changed most. But I want to tell you, I've also seen circumstances change on the dime. Not always, but sometimes I'll see that. You know, in this story, you have 10 lepers. 10 lepers. Notice what it says. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village. 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "You go show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were not there 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up. Get off your feet. Stand up. Now go, your faith has made you well." Now let's just say, give you something here right now. In the original language, that's not what he says. He says, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." Sozo is the word. Whenever you go into the New Testament, whenever you go into the Gospels, whenever you go into the Epistles, whenever you go into the New Testament, and the word is saved, saved from your sin, saved from the power of darkness, it's always sozo. And what I want to suggest to you early on in this message is that 10 get healed and 1 gets saved. Because of the powerful, in my mind, in my heart, the power of the word. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy is caused by a bacteria, and it's very, very contagious. What they find is that this bacteria does something to your body. And I'm more of a reader than a speaker, so it what's anesthetic? Thank you. That's what it does. Can you say that again loud? Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to promise you, I worked on that word for days. And I did not push the easy button. It deadens everything. You have no feeling in your hands. You have no feeling in your face. You have no feeling in your feet. I mean, there are people who have this, who may fall asleep, and all night rats have eaten their fingers. They've not felt it. There's one case of a man who was washing his face in scalding water, and he didn't know it, and became blind. You lose all feeling. And so, like, if you bump your hand, you don't know how bad you bumped your hand. I heard this story once. This kid, there were just some kind of church, and they had to open a gate. They couldn't open the gate, and so there was a rusty lock on it that you just need to pull, and they couldn't get it. And he went right up, and he pulled it and held it where there was a nail in it, and yanked it off. His hand started bleeding. He felt nothing because this bacteria had gotten to him. And so what happens is you begin to lose your digits. You begin to lose your fingers. You lose toes. You begin to lose tissue. And sometimes it's so bad that your fingers will also, your hand will grow around your fingers. And nose and tumors and those kinds of things. And if it doesn't go treated, and if it's not sanitized, it emits also an odor that's really, really bad. And to make things worse, it's contagious. If you cough on somebody, somebody can get it. And so these 10 lepers have this bacteria, and they are shunned. They're separated from their family. They're separated from their spouses. They're separated from their children. They're separated from their parents. They're separated from the synagogue, their church, their community. They're cast aside because of this dreaded disease. Think Ebola. Think Ebola. Not only is it dreaded because of what it does, but also in Jewish time, in biblical times, everybody thought if you had it, it's because God cursed you because you did something wrong. So you were stigmatized of being an evil person, separated from society. It's a horrible disease, especially in that day. Because really, you're just dead men and women walking. The thing about it is you don't die from it. You die from the circumstance of it, not from it. So you can live a long, long life in the midst of this, disfigured, shunned. And these 10 lepers, somehow they've heard of Jesus. Perhaps they've heard of the other leper that was healed. Jesus heals leprosy. Leprosy obeys Jesus. And so he comes to this village. He's between Galilee and Samaria. And they come out. They see him. They've come from a distance. That's why we know this is the worst of it. They're keeping their distance. And this is what they do. They say, Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know that the word master is only used about five times in Scripture, and it's only used by Luke, Master. And what it is, it's a title, and it's a title that means that carries with it authority. And what they're saying is, Master, the one with authority, authority over nature, authority over disease, authority over creation. Why? Why is that? Because he's the Son of God, he's the Son of the living God, and he's God in the flesh who made the earth, who also has authority to do whatever he wants to do with the earth and with you. And there's this glimpse of faith of what they've heard. Master, Jesus, Master, you're Savior, but you are Lord, and you're Lord with authority. You're not just Kurios, King. You are the Master of everything. And Jesus looks at him. And by the way, let me just say, whenever you read about leprosy in Scripture, it's always about a loving God who will touch you, love you, embrace you, and heal you. The most dreaded disease of history, really, at that point. They have records of it in China, 600 BC, and how horrid it is. And yet, here's this Jesus who's Master, who is Lord over creation, who speaks the word and the winds obey and fever obeys and leprosy obeys and paralysis obeys. He's the God who speaks and even nature listens. And this is the hope. And so Jesus doesn't touch them and they get healed. He says, go to the priest. And as they're going, they all get healed in that moment. And the Bible says that only one will return to give thanks to this great God. I mean, think about it. Think about it with me. Jesus, have mercy on me. He sees them. Go, show yourselves to the priest. They're on their way to go see the priest. And they're all healed in this one moment. And much like the baptismal waters, they're dead. They are dead in a grave. And all of a sudden, God speaks and they come to life. They have new purpose now. They're cleansed. They can run home and get embraced and get touched. They can go get the job that they've always wanted to have or the job they lost. They don't have to beg for money anymore, and people throw the money from a distance. There's no more stigma. There's no more failure. There's no more heartache concerned to this. They have moved from the pit to the rock. They have been resurrected from the borrowed grave. And there's just one will return. One foreigner, one Samaritan. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. But now, no family, I'm going to have family again. No friends, I'm going to have friends. No community, I'm going to have community. No church, I'm going to have church now. No job, I'm going to have a job now. And he runs to Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he moves toward Jesus, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he sees Jesus and he falls on his feet. And the Bible says that he thanked him. He gave thanks. Gave thanks to this great God, one who just got physically fixed, along with 9 others. But when he comes, I want to say, again, blessing follows grateful hearts. Miracles follow thank you. They just do. And you ask yourself, what could be more miraculous than being healed from this dreaded disease? And I'll tell you what it is. It's being saved from the leprosy of the heart that stigmatizes you and separates you from the living God because of your sin. Listen, something greater than being healed by leprosy is here. And it's the God who comes and saves you, so-so's you. Don't ever use that, okay? But I'm just telling you, he comes and he saves you. And he gets saved. He finds forgiveness. He finds freedom. He finds life. It's the very root of the word of salvation, which salvation does. Saves you from your sins. Saves you from your strongholds. Saves you from your darkness. And that's what this man gets. All because he returned to him to say, thank you. The miraculous follows grateful hearts. Supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything. You know that, and this is laced in Scripture. Matter of fact, the word thanksgiving in the Greek is the word eucharisteo. Our Catholic friends call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, the thanksgiving. And it's amazing to me because if you can look at it from that perspective of Jesus giving thanks for a broken body and spilt blood and what he's about to go through on one of the worst days of history, which really became the best day of history, he said, thank you. Thank you for broken body and spilt blood. Thank you for that. Thank you for my body. Thank you for this blood that's spilled. Thank you for this cross. The Bible says that he endured this cross, despised the shame. Why? Because for the joy set before him, he knew what the cross would do for you and for me. Thank you, God, for broken body and spilt blood. Jesus, in John chapter 6, gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 men and their families. Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of the fish, Jonah finally says, thank you. And you know what the fish does? Vomits him out. Spits him out. Yeah, I like that, because you know what? I think in the presence of the enemy, in the presence of sin, there is no room for thank you, so I'll just spit you out. Think about that. 3 days, three nights. And finally says, okay, thank you. Blah, you're gone. Go do what I've asked you to do. Go do what I've asked you to do. Miracle. And then when he goes and does what God asked him to do, even because he doesn't want to go do it, because he hates Assyrians, and you want to talk about a racist guy, can't stand him. I don't want him to get saved. I'm the reason why I'm running the other way, because I don't want those Assyrians to get saved. They're brutal people. But he goes. You want to talk about a miracle? All he does is says, hey, you're about to be destroyed, and they repent. And they find God, and they become worshipers. Miraculous follows grateful hearts. That's what he does. That's what happens in your life. And I'm asking you, as we move into the finality of this message in a few minutes, is will you make a commitment right now to begin to thank God in everything and to begin to thank God for everything? But by the way, Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. You know, John 11 at the tomb of Lazarus, he's been dead 4 days. Jesus gives thanks, tells him to come forth. He comes forth. Another miracle. And it's just like that. But you know, most of these things in here are giving thanks for things that are good. And the suggestion that I'm giving you today is a process that may be hard and may be difficult. Some things harder than others. The challenge today is, will you take up this banner of thank you even when things are going wrong in your life? I thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, by the way, I just want a confession. There's things that happen that I don't like. And I do say, God, I don't like this. You know it's okay to say that. You know, you can have permission to say, God, I don't like this, but I thank you in it. I thank you for it. There are things that I've in my journal that a man that you would find very, very foolish that would thank God for something like that. But I know some things about God, and I know that he's at work, and I know that he's moving even in the circumstances that were bad. How many of you have walked through bad circumstances and you look back and God's done this marvelous work out of that grave, out of that hardship, out of those strongholds, or out of those even sin? And you say, oh God, thank God, I never want to do that again. Never want to go through that way, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Sorry. Wouldn't trade it for anything. That's hindsight. I'm talking about foresight. To know that God is God, and he is Lord, and he is King, and he is sovereign God. And yes, there is things that he will, and there are some of us who believe that he has this permissive will. Do you remember Job? Give me permission. You got permission. I'm not all about looking at the theological aspects of this. Don't want to get lost in that. But what I want to do is want to get into this thought that listen, there is power in thank you. I even find it really interesting in our culture that there's Thanksgiving and then there's Christmas. We thank God for bounty. We thank God for who he is. We thank God for what he's done. And then all of a sudden, we come to Christmas. The coming of Savior, Jesus. I like that. I know you can't get that out of the Bible anywhere, but I just noticed that just a few days ago. And why not? Why not? I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's finish this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verse 16. Rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from every form of evil. But you notice he says, always rejoice. Always. Anytime. Whenever. When it's when. Okay? You know what I'm saying? W-H-E-N. Whenever it's when. Whenever it happens, you thank God, or you rejoice in him. The word rejoice is to be glad, to rejoice exceedingly, to be well, and to thrive in the midst of it, and to pray. When you pray always, it's to converse with God. This is a spirit. It's a state of mind. It's an awareness of God's ever-present ear and ever-present mouth. And he says this, you pray without ceasing. You pray without intermission. You pray incessantly. It's a conversation, an ongoing conversation with God. And it's not just one way. It's not you just speaking for 40 minutes and thinking you've prayed. It's speaking and it's listening. And then, in everything give thanks. In everything be grateful. And you know, this word in is you point to the time, you point to the place, and you point to the state of the way things are. And so therefore he says, in everything, all things, whatever is happening, in every place, every time, no matter what, for everything, in everything, when it's good, when it's hard, when it's uncertain. Because he says this, for this is God's will for you. This is what God wants you to do in whatever you're facing. He wants you to give thanks because his will is being accomplished. You know, I look at the power of this passage of Scripture, and I ask the question, how in the world do we do this? It's really easy to gather around our family this Thursday and give thanks for the food and thanks for the blessing and thanks for the year and the thanks of all that God's doing in our lives and all the good things. But how could I dare even thank God for the bad, the evil? How can I do that? I can do it because as I mentioned a moment ago, because of God's greatness. You know, what makes God so great, according to David, in his powerful Psalm 139, is that God knows everything, he is everywhere at one time, and he is all-powerful. He does what he chooses. That's what makes God great. That's what makes God sovereign, Lord. And so when I say thank you, I'm acknowledging the sovereign work of my God right now, right here. That's what thank you does. I find it also is that God is great. Not only that, because I can thank him for everything, but God is working everything out for my good. That's everything. Look at verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians, what he says in verse 9. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. He is saying, listen, he's not destined you for wrath. He's destined you for salvation through Christ. So that whatever's going on in my life, that God is using that to do this great, great work in our lives. Notice at the end of the chapter 24, verse 24, faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that hard season. Thank you for the season I'm going in. It's difficult. It's hard. It's difficult. It's hard. But I want to tell you, we find such great peace. Go to Acts chapter 16. We're eating lunch together at 1, so we can be a little late. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Let me show you how this works. Paul and Silas, don't watch this. Paul and Silas, they have a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so they do. They're saying, God's calling us to Macedonia. And they show up in Philippi. And conversions have begun. But the Bible says in verse 22, after he cast out a demon from a woman that was profiting from the demonic, and these owners of this servant, this slave, could no longer bring profit because the demon was gone. They rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Now watch this. He's beaten with rods. They've struck them with many blows, and they throw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. How many of you have moved because moved in some way? I'm not talking about just moving, but you've moved in your life because you really heard, felt like you heard God say, move. And then in your mind, it all went to hell. It all went to the pit. That's this. We're going to Macedonia. We just had conversions on the river. We just cast out a demon. And all of a sudden, they're being beaten with rods, and they're thrown into the deepest dungeon, which is the sewer, raw sewage, and they're in stocks, and they're in bonds. Their future uncertain. Let me ask you something. It's beaten by rods, thrown in the deepest dungeon, in the sewer. And I don't need to get graphic. I don't need to get graphic. But if you live in the country, go open your septic system. That's what you're looking at. And you're in it. You're not looking at it. You're in it. By the way, and you've been beaten, and you're to the wall. Is that good? No, that's bad. That's hard. That's uncertain. But the miraculous follows the grateful heart. Miraculous follows thank you. Supernatural things happen when you praise God for everything. It's bad. Notice what they do. Verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, always praying, and singing hymns, rejoicing. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a hymn in your heart of thank you when you praise God, you're not praising God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do not harm yourself, we're all here. And he called for lights, he rushed in, he trembled with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? I just beat you with rods. I just threw you in the deepest dungeon in the sewers. And this earthquake comes, the doors are opened, your chains are unfastened, you're free to go, you're free to even come kill me, you're free to come to do these things, but you know that if you escape, I die, and you just stay there. I've heard your songs, I've heard your message, I've seen your life, I've seen your thanksgiving, I've seen your compassion. What must I do to have what you have? The Bible says, Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and so will your household. Your household will come. And so the Bible says, immediately he takes them, he brings them to his house, he bandages them up. The guy who caused the damage is now bandaging the damage. Saved. Filled with the Spirit of God. And I just want to tell you, I don't think we'd be reading this if they had gotten to that place and grumbled and complained and thought that maybe God was tricking them to come to Macedonia. Yeah, I've heard people speak like that. No, what do they do at midnight? They worship their God. Good, bad, ugly, beautiful, certain, uncertain. And what happens? The miracle. And the miracle is not the earthquake, although that's a great one. The miracle is not the unfastening bonds, although that's a miracle. But the miracle is the salvation of God. Salvation came to that jailer's household. And guess what? Now there's about a dozen families. The church has been birthed in Macedonia. Church at Philippi. And I want to say, all because, well, not all, but because of thank you. And I want to ask you, church, today, will you give thanks, not just Thursday around a table, but will you give thanks in your darkest hour, your darkest moment? And will you take the challenge, and perhaps the faith might birth within you that says that when I thank God that things happen beyond my control, they happen supernaturally, and that God does something great. God does something powerful. Let me tell you, give you a list. And if you have the notes, they're on the back of that note. Let me just say what he said, what I just have come to know in this thank you journey. Thanking God for everything has nurtured me to the fullness of life. It turns what I've had into what I thought I had in lack into enough and even more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast. Thank you turns a house into a home, a stranger or enemy into a friend. It makes sense of our past. It brings peace for the day. It means that you have a grasp for what God's will is for your life, that you have a growing faith in the providence of God. It means that you're willing to look foolish and thank God for things that doesn't make sense. It means you're willing to place every circumstance in the hands of God, which in reality they already are. It means that you see and confess that Jesus is Lord of the situation. It means you choose to see the good that God is accomplishing. You choose to be happy, if not deliriously happy, you at least find contentment. You put off grumbling, complaint, and discontentment. You thanking God for all that He has given and all that He is doing. You believe your circumstance furthers the will of God and the expansion of the gospel. You choose to be led by the Spirit according to His word, and you're willing to be a greater vessel for His glory. You find out that the great and lasting joy comes not because of good circumstances, but from the hand of God. You suffer in a manner worthy of the Lord, and your ache seems to be relieved. As you know that for the believer, weeping may last through the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. I believe that the supernatural power of thank you. Amen and amen. Pray with me. Will you do that? Let's stand together. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for the power of thank you. And I want to pray, God, for every person in here who came to this place struggling with circumstances, struggling with a bad word, struggling with a hard word. Maybe something ugly happened last night. Maybe there's just uncertainty in the circumstance and the situation. But I pray that we will rejoice always. We will pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Knowing that our God is great and that He's working it all out because it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. I ask these things in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen and amen. Hey, look at me. If you didn't bring food,